This past week, Friday, was the yahrzeit of Rav Dessler. We've spoken a little bit about the Petira, about his last few weeks of his life and so on. During World War II, actually, when the war broke out, and the Jews would be being exterminated in Europe, he was very much involved personally. You know, one of the big items, you know, in the world of Musa was called Noiseh B'el Chaveroi. But many times it's a nice thing to say, a nice thing to talk about, but to actually be able to be someone who really you can tell that he's feeling the pain of others, that's not that easy. That is something that needs to be worked on. And Rav Dessler clearly bepoil, he was really mishtatif in Tzaras of Klal Yisrael, which can really see the pains in terms of the way that his anhogis, as he continued, in terms of the things that he did. Important to point out that, because when the war broke out, his wife and daughter, actually, they left England and they ran back to Lithuania. And he had a son learning in Tel Aviv, Rav Nochem Velvel, which is the son of Rav Dessler. Because of the war, he lost contact with him. He lost contact with his wife, his daughter, and with his son. And after a while, he realized, recognized by some sort of way that they're alive, but some of them, they escaped. The son of Isaac came to America. Turns out that he didn't see any of them for years. Mom's years. Literally, he didn't see any of them for years. And until the end of the war. And the Versteitzer, that during the wartime was losing contact, you can be sure that there's a lot of concern. You know, how was his wife faring, how was his daughter faring, and his son also, and he was in America, but there was no contact, didn't have any contact. Didn't know exactly what's going on. But Lamaisin, he never expressed it. He never expressed that the personal pain or anything, fear, concerning about the welfare of his own family. It was just once that he sort of like blurred out, he says, I'm not worried about my wife and daughter, he said, because they happened to be in the same area with my brother-in-law, who was a big tzaddik, his name was Reb Daniel Mavshevitz. So many of them in the vicinity together with my brother-in-law, the tzaddik, I'm sure nothing. That was all that he sort of like mentioned about any concern that he had for his own personal family. On the other hand, he was very much involved in the sense that all of the shemuzin, b'derech klal, during the war period, I mean, there's so many topics of Musa that we can talk about and choose to speak about. But the shmuzin that he gave at that particular time, whether it was for groups, whether it was for individuals, where everything was talking about how to cope with tragedy, how to deal with tzaras, and what is the machayev? In other words, when you have tzaras, what does it mean for a yid? What is a yid supposed to be doing, right, in terms of response? What should be the reaction of a yid to deal with tzar and to deal with tzaras? And so on. So he saw himself in a response. A personal responsibility that because of the tsars and the tragedies that are happening, that he had to dedicate his entire life without any shir, nothing left behind, completely, totally, is in order for Kodesh Lashem to do whatever he can in order to spread Kedusha among Talmidim, among people, among Klal Yisrael, and so on and so forth. Basically, of course, what did that mean? It would be murder that tzibur always to tshuva ma'asim tovim. That's the basic thing. Whenever they saw us and called us all, the response should be really tshuva ma'asim tovim. However, here was the difference. The difference was, he said as follows. He says, being that you don't know what the next morning is going to bring, and the tzaras are just falling one after the other in such a serious way, he says, there's no time, he says, to work on tshuva in the normal way, which we're going to see soon in an essay, b'chlal. Normally, you know, you don't jump from one madrega to the next. You go slowly. You go step by step, rung after rung. You go, you know, the steps of a ladder. You can't just jump and try to skip. But rather, you reach madregas, high madregas. You have to go by hadroga. You have to go from madrega to madrega. You take it step by step. You can't attempt to jump, you know, way ahead of yourself. But you really, you work on yourself step by step. But he said, but that's, he says, when life is taking its normal course, normal things are going. But then you know what tomorrow is going to bring. So therefore, we have to try to achieve the ultimate very quickly. He said, this is called first aid in tshuva. First aid in tshuva, he says, you can't go, you know, the normal conventional means, which you take your time and maybe go procedure, step one, step two, step three. But when there's a danger, life danger, you have to jump in, you have to make some surgery maybe right away. There's no time to do much thinking. So it's in this particular time, he says, what you need is first aid in tshuva. And first aid in tshuva means that you have to try to do the utmost, whatever is possible, in order to achieve greater heights, and should be recognized, hopefully in Shemayim, to protect close on, to see as many as can survive. At the end of the war, there was an essay that he wrote. He took it very, very seriously, in the same way that, you know, taking the war seriously and reacting to it and responding to it from a Torah perspective. But also after the war, he wrote an essay that's called "Vayi Acher Achun." Now, now that the war is over and you have survived, there's a new responsibility. The responsibility is, he says, "La'ezet Tachlis." He says, "Hishir Hakadosh Baruch Hu Oisonu B'chayim." It's another question. So many people have perished, 6 million, whatever the number is. He says, and yet, he says, you, I, my family, your family, whoever it was, that happened by nace, by miracle, that survived. So there has to be a reason for that also. And then there was this essay which he wrote, which is called "Vayi Acher Achun," which happens to be on page 70 in the Michtav Eliyahu, which is, I don't know if you, but in the regular Sefer Michtav Eliyahu, where he discusses that. As a matter of fact, this was something that many Gedolim saw as well, you know, who survived the Churban, really took it upon themselves that the fact that they're alive means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants something for them. And by the way, that doesn't only take place, that attitude is not only something that takes place, you know, when you have a global, right, a global massacre, a global destruction, but even an individual who may undergo, you know, a difficult period in his time. A difficult period of time, serious illness, and he makes it. Has to also ask himself the same question: why was I zoche? What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from me? Like, I was zoche to be alive. I happened to be alive. Many others in the same situation did not make it. So that question is a question of self introspection, which is on a global scale. If one happens to make it alive, happens to escape and survive, and also on an individual basis, what happened? You know, the Satmar Ruba Bioil, you know, after the war, he started rebuilding. And his Moises Lamaisa, in one of the dinners of the yeshiva, when he spoke, so he brought down the Mamre Chazal. Which Chazal say regarding Avraham Avinu, you know, one of the 10 Nisyonis, Eser Nisyonis that he was tested was, you know, was thrown into the Kifshin Oish, was thrown into the fiery furnace by Nimrei, hoping that. The fact that he destroyed, right, destroyed all the Eroidazores, destroyed all the idols of his father, and so on and so forth. So he throws him into the Kif generation, and Kishwaku spares him. And the Medrash says something very fascinating. He says, Avraham Avinu was spared, and this happened. And Chazal say, Le'nitzel Avraham Ela B'schus Yaakov. You'll see, by the way, Rav Dessler also brings it. Le'nitzel Avraham Avinu was only saved in the schus of Yaakov. He said, so listen, Yaakov was very great, but you tell me, Avraham Avinu had no schusim? Avraham Avinu? Great Avraham Avinu, I mean, I had no personal schus to be saved, only the schus Yaakov. And the pasuk is Koyom Hashem El Beis Yaakov Asher Poda Savrom. The pasuk said that's the pasuk that the Medrash quotes. Koyom Hashem El Beis Yaakov Asher Poda Savrom. So it's Beis Yaakov. So I said, what is the pshat? What does it mean that Avraham Avinu was not saved only the schus Yaakov? Then the Rebbe said, he said, the truth is, if you'd have asked Avraham Avinu, should a nes happen to save him or not, Avraham Avinu was saved by choice. Great, great tzaddikim wanted to give their lives on Kiddush Hashem. Great tzaddikim. Madrege. You have to be that madrege. The great tzaddikim wanted, Beis Yosef we know wanted that. It didn't happen because the Kodesh Baruch had other plans for him. He has to be alive, he has to write the Beis Yosef. He has to write the Shulchan Aruch. That's what it is. But he was hoping that he should, something like Rabbi Kiva says, Mosai, right? Mosai Yovelu Yodere Kamen, Kol Yomei Yisem Mispal. All my life I was being mispalled to have the opportunity to do the utmost, is to give my life on Kiddush Hashem. Again, it's great Madrega. Friends of Madrega. So the Rebbe said, Avraham Avinu, if he would have had a choice, he would have said, Rabban Shem, don't save me. I want to be Mekadosh Shemai in the world. Let them all see what for my beliefs I'm ready to go into the fiery furnace, right? And I'm not going to retract, I'm not going to change my mind. It could save his life. All they have to do is denounce, right, his past beliefs, right, and accept the general belief and all the idols and all the getchkes. He didn't want to do that. So Avraham Avinu Lamaisa, if you had asked him, he said he wouldn't want an S. Sakim and S happened. You know why? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu had a bigger plan. What the bigger plan was? Avraham Avinu has to give birth to Yitzchok, give birth to Yaakov. Yaakov has to build 12 Shvatim, have to build Klal Yisrael. If not for Avraham Avinu, he would not have had a klal yisrael later. So the pshat is like mitzvah Avrom, the reason Avrom was saved. In other words, as far as he's concerned, he would have wanted to go Kiddush Hashem. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu spare him? You know why? Bezchus Yaakov. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu needed klal yisrael to be built. Kadosh Baruch Hu needed that Avraham Avinu should bring about a Yaakov to build klal yisrael. He was saved on behalf of klal. His own schus, Rabbi had schusim, but he didn't want to use those schusim for that. He wanted to go Kiddush Hashem. Shabbat says, no, I have a plan for you. I need you here on this world. I need you here. And what I need here? To build klal yisrael. So that's why he was saved. So what the Rebbe said at the time was, he says, surviving, he says, this bitter churban, right? Where so many Jews were killed. So he looked at himself, he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to stay alive, right? It means Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to build also, to have my chelik in building klal yisrael. That's what he said at the yeshiva dinner, one of the first dinners here in America. He said, I have to build, Kadosh Baruch Hu kept me alive. It means that I have to do my chelik in rebuilding klal yisrael. That's responsibility. If an S happens and you survive, it demands something. It behooves. It's an achrayis. It's a machayif. And that, in fact, is what Radesta also wrote. He said, "Vahi achar achurban leizet achlas hishar Hakadosh Baruch Hu esonu b'chayim." Left us, in fact, let him alive. So, as we know, that it was in 1941. So, in fact, he was just 50 years old at the time. So he gets a letter, something we mentioned right in the beginning, from Reb David Ryan. Reb David Ryan was a tremendous Oyev Torah, a lover of Torah, was a Shoichet in Gateshead. Reb David Ryan was a Shoichet in Gateshead, not far from to Newcastle. And he came an idea, which was a very foreign idea, and the idea was to build a koilel for young people to sit and learn, right? This were Bnei Torah, some refugees, those who were the product of the yeshivas and happened to survive the Churban, and now they should have a place to learn. So Reb David Ryan wants to establish a koilel here in England, but he needs someone to lead it. And this Reb David Ryan happened to be a Yid who was a fiery Yid. A fiery Yid means that his life was dedicated to Torah. He was a Shoichet, but his life was dedicated to Torah. And the Rebbe was telling Gateshead, happened to be at the time, a city of Yirei Mishleimim, a lot of Erlich Yidden. He says, and they had a very chosher Rav, well-known Rav, Rav Naftali Shakovitsky. Naftali Shakovitsky was an Odom Godel from the Talmidim of Chofetz Chaim. And there was a yeshiva there. When he received that letter, from David Dryan, who says that it's an absolute necessity. And he made himself a cheshbon Rabbesli, says, if after the churban, if we have to rebuild klal yisrael, he took it upon himself. He said, it's not a luxury. This is what we have to do. He said, but the problem was that you didn't have the tools. In other words, there is no money, there is nothing. And how are you going to do it? Interestingly enough, that Rav Dester also, he looked ahead and he said, if I don't do it, he said, who's going to produce the next generation of Gedolei Torah, such a Dor Yosem? Everything has been wiped out. There's nothing left, he said. Who will the Osir Lover, who in the future are going to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael? And so on and so forth. So he said, there's no brayer, he said, we have to jump into it. I have to do it. He took upon himself not only the spiritual guidance, he's going to say the Shmuzin, he's going to say Shiurim, but also the financial aspects also. He took it upon himself. He said, this was a person who didn't make a cheshbon, you know, how am I going to do it? And so, as a matter of fact, in the course of his lifetime, he was derech hateva, he was a baishin. He was a shy person. He did not have it in him to be able to go ask people for money. It was not his nature. Totally against his nature. But in this situation, it was not a question of evaluating himself, whether this is something that he could do, whether he's suited for this or not. It has to be done. Mila has to be done to establish the koilel. He took it upon himself. And why? The question was, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us to be alive? L'shema hishir esom HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chaim. And therefore he says, I can't make cheshbonos, whether I can, there's no such thing. The decision has to be, should it be done? If the decision should be done, then we don't take in account whether we can or cannot do it. That's not part of the cheshbon. This is an old one from Alter Navadik Kochet. Alter Navadik says, he says, can I, can I not? The question should always be, should I or should I not? If you make the decision you should, you go ahead and do it, and say, after the Shema will already kick in, he says. That's the Malach of Yid. That's the Shema. Yid is not done, Zach Kenyot, Zach Kenish. That's not part of his thing. If I've done some, his thing is, do I have to do it? Must it be done, or should it be done? And that was his decision, Lysa, to do it. And the truth is, at that particular time when he wanted to do it, so somebody mentioned and said, particularly was a meeting that took place. And you always have people, you have the naysayers, always people negative, and b'derech hatevet, maybe they're right, under natural order things. And he said, it's not possible, he says. The way things are going, Torah is not going to survive for very long. He said it as a fact. I mean, these things have been said here in America also. It was said also in Europe as well. At that particular time, a particular meeting once said, don't worry about it. The whole survival of Torah from the beginning of time was always alpinais. It does not survive b'derech hatevet. Let me just tell you what Rameh Shapiro once said. He said, the Gemara tells regarding the Luchas, that the men, the Samach, and the Luchas, b'nei soyoimdim. Because the Luchas, you realize, they were carved out through and through. The letters were carved out through and through. Now, a mem, we're talking about the square mem, not the small mem, the end of mem, right? It's carved out like a square. If you carve a square, then the middle part has no place, should fall out. The middle part should fall out, because if you cut through and through, right, the outside perimeter of the mem, the middle part should, because it doesn't have where to hang itself, by the nature of the letter mem. The same thing, the samach also. Samach is also totally round, all around. So if you carve out all around, right, then the middle part should fall out. So the Gemara tells us that the mem and the samach in the luchis, it stood by Ness. It was suspended in place, it didn't fall out. Any other letter that you carve out, you know, from the olive base, has a chelik, a part that's connected, so it doesn't... But the mem of the samach, being it's square or round, so if you cut it all around or all square, the middle part naturally would have to fall out. Mem the samach of the luchas b'nei soyodim. Rameh Shvira said, you know what mem the samach is? Mas. The money of how to get money for Torah, he says, that's always an S. That's a mas, he says. The mem the samach shebeluchas b'nei soyodim. Luchas is the Torah, right? So the money that Torah needs to house raise, nobody knows b'derech hatevet house raise. Somehow he just managed to get it somehow. But it's b'nei S. Mem the samach shebeluchas b'nei soyodim. And that was the situation. So the coil, of course, was started, and so on and so forth. Interesting enough, he not only gave his stipend to all of the coilu in Galite, but also he gave them also a dirim, a place to live, which means he saw to it to pay the rent as well, in addition to the stipend. So he really went all out, which just as I'm speaking about this, let me just mention to you that I heard from Yehoshua Rav in Yerushalayim, happened to be by Ramosh Halberstam of the Kohen of Rochev at the time speaking there, and this particular person was there, Yehoshua Rav in Yerushalayim, in Ramat Shlomo, he's a rov there, and he mentioned that a particular gevir, wealthy person, a man of well-to-do means, came to the Ger Rebbe, to Pinchas Menachem, the previous Ger Rebbe, came to Pinchas Menachem with a request. He said, listen, he says, what I'd like to do is a tremendous donation. I see how many of the young people are sitting and learning. I see how they're living. You know what, I want to donate an apartment. Could afford it. I would have something like $200,000 those days. It's more, depending where, of course, it is. So he says, I'd like to donate an apartment, but it has to be for really the most choshev young man that's in the Ger Koil. The most choshev young man. I don't know who it is. So he comes to the Rebbe. He said, let the Rebbe inquire. Let the Rebbe find out who is the most suitable young man to deserve it more than anybody else. So Rebbe said, it's tremendous, such a donation to give an apartment, a deal, it's a moedig zach, tremendous. So Rebbe inquired from the Rosh HaKoil and so on and so forth. They did his homework, due diligence, as they say, and they came up with the particular young man, and the young man, and the telephone call was made to this young man, you know, you're the lucky, he didn't know about this whole thing, so you know what, here's the keys to a new apartment. He could not believe his eyes, it was tremendous, it's like the Gula Shalem, could be nothing more, better news to him. Mom, she got this apartment. Five days later, the Rebbe gets a call from the people who informed him that they made a mistake, that young man, he's a choshev young man, but there is somebody else who's more suitable. There's somebody else who's more suitable. Which means that the other person should have gotten the apartment. So they said, what do you do now? You can't go to the one who thought he had it and say to take it away from him. If he didn't give it to him in the first place, it's one thing. To take it away from him now would be worse than the simcha that he got it. You can't take it away. You know what the Rebbe did? From his own pocket, he took out the money to buy another apartment. Because he felt he took the price, he made a mistake. Any mistake. He was told, but he took responsibility for that. He took responsibility, he took money out of his own pocket, whatever money he had, to make, and he bought it to make sure. So now both had it. So just to see if when you see this is leadership in terms of worrying about young people. So Rabbi Sai, so we're going to move on here a little bit, and we're going to see the essay here on page 24, which is called Yesh Koina Oilomoi Bisho Achas. Okay. Yesh Koina Oilomoi Bisho Achas. Just want to mention, as you can see, then in the bottom where it's mentioned that this particular essay, which is mentioned here, Yeshkoyin Olam Bishachas, if you have it on page 26, that this particular essay is something that was written by Rav Dessler. You know, it was just after the outbreak of World War II. It was something like was somewhere in the 1940, as mentioned here in the bottom, somewhere in 1940, at the time that Hitler had already overrun France and Belgium and was poised to attack England. Millions of Jews already in Poland and other parts of Europe came under the Nazi rule. Situation seemed desperate. Now, this was talking about what a person can achieve even in one moment of time. Let me just mention that this notion of Yeshkoyin Olam B'Shoachas is mentioned in a lot of places. Let me just give you one example. One example is the Masechtos Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. Let me just tell you the Hagdomah. Rav Dessler doesn't mention it because it's assumed that everybody knows it. But it's at least three places in Shas. You'll be quite familiar when I mention it, this particular Maisa. One of the many areas where Chazal say a person can acquire Olam Habo in one moment. That's a famous story where the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches regarding the Roman executioner. You might remember the Maisa that the Romans found Reb Chanina ben Tragian, who was one of the Asar Haruge Malchus. They found Reb Chanina ben Tragian that he was sitting and he was learning Torah. He was gathering, right? He was gathering large crowds of people, Talmidim, and he had a Sefer Torah, right, resting on his chest. So they brought him into the place of execution because he went against the decree of the Romans not to study Torah, certainly not to teach it Barabbin, not to teach it publicly. So they brought him and they wrapped the Sefer Torah around him. They wrapped the Sefer Torah around him with bundles of branches and set him on fire, literally. They set him on fire. Very tragic story. But not only that, they were not satisfied merely to set and to burn him alive, but they also wanted to delay, right, the Misa from setting in, so they brought unwoven wool, soaked in water, and placed it over the heart so he shouldn't die too quickly, to prevent him from dying. So his daughter saw it, and she says, Abba, she says, Father, Oy li, woe to me that I should see you in such a matzif. And Reb Chanina ben Tragian, you see how tzaddikim talk, Reb Chanina ben Tragian, so he says to her, if I'd been burnt alone, he said, it would have worried me. But being that I'm being burnt together with the Sefer Torah, the one above who's going to seek revenge, he says, we're going to seek revenge for the Sefer Torah, will also seek revenge for me, on my account as well. I'm not worried, because it's not me alone. It's me together with the Sefer Torah. His Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, what do you see while it was being burnt? So he said, the parchment is burning, he said, but the letters, he says, fly in the air. In other words, they cannot destroy the Torah. Maybe they're destroying the parchment. But the letters are immortal. The letters of the Torah, I see, are flying in the air. Says Reb Chanina ben Tragian to them. They said to him, why don't you open your mouth and let the fire enter into you so Mamel will die quicker? The torture of extending his life under these circumstances, right, will disappear, at least will go as fast as possible. Open your mouth. And he said, better let the one who gave me life take it rather than I should injure myself. He didn't want to do anything to hasten his death. The executioner says to him, Rabbi, interesting thing, this Roman executioner, he had some pangs of guilt the last moment, so he says, Rebbe, if I increase the flames and remove the unwoven wool from over your heart, will you bring me to the world to come? Here it is, this murderer. But he said, but I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to do you a favor by removing the wool, right, and allowing you to leave this world sooner, suffer less pain. Will I have Olam Habo? Will you take me to the world to come? And he said, yes. And the Roman executioner says, swear it to me. And the Gemara says, he swore, immediately he increased the flames, he removed the wool from his heart, and his soul, his neshama, departed. Neshama Rav Chanina ben Tradyim departed with tahara, impurity. At that time, the executioner also leaped into the fire. He leaped into the fire together. And the heavenly voice of Baskol comes up, Mishamayim, and says, the Chanina ben Tradyim and the executioner are both destined to life in the world to come. It's an incredible thing. When Rebbe heard this, Rabbeinu HaKodesh Rebbe Yehuda HaNossi heard that, he cried and he said, Yesh koin eloma b'sho'acha, some people can acquire the world to come in one moment, and some in many, many years. Here you have this Roman executioner who was a murderer and everything, but he happened to do just the right thing at that time, and for that, he would also have his share in the world to come. But remember, Rabbi said, there's a share in the world to come, but there's a larger share and a smaller share. He doesn't have the big share over there, you know? It's like people come to a wedding. Some people sit at the head table, some people sit depending where, you know? So I don't know how boy they have the same also in the world to come, you know? Some have better lighting, some are, you know, it's a different situation. So background music, different kind of background music, different Olam HaBoz, Olam HaBoz. But in any case, this is the idea of Yesh Koine Elomoy, the Shoachas. So I guess let's move on here now to see the beginning. Over here, let's see. Yeshkoin aloma b'shoachas. So if that's what begins. Amru Zalwi says, the Chachomim have said that loylem yasek odem b'toyah b'mitzvahs. The Chachomim have said that a person should occupy himself, do toyah mitzvahs, afilu shloy lishmo. It's important to do toyah mitzvahs even if it's not, even if you're doing it for your own sake, for ulterior motives. You're not doing it for the sake of heaven. The point is, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Even if you're not doing it for the sake of heaven, you're not doing it for the sake of Shemayim, L'shem Shemayim. Why? Because eventually, even when you start doing it for ulterior motives, but eventually you're going to come to do it for the sake of L'shem Shemayim. Bring it out desolately, says, V'kosav ha'agoyin Rabbeinu Chaim v'Elojin. So he quotes Rabbi Chaim Elojin in the Sefer HaNifleh, says, in the amazing Sefer. He says, Ruach Chaim, the Sefer called Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis of Mishnah Dalet. And Rabbi Chaim says as follows. He says, Lemoit Shlo Lishma, or Limit Shlo Lishma, the learning of Shlo Lishma, who Mateach God Lover Lile Lishma. Learning Torah in Shlo Lishma, right, for ulterior motives, but that's the key to reach the stage to come to learn it Lishma. In other words, don't push aside learning Shlo Lishma. Don't underestimate, right, the importance of Shlo Lishma. He says, learning Shlo Lishma, that's the mafeach, that is the key to come to Lishma. You know why? Because without the preparatory stage of learning Shlo Lishma, one is incapable of combating the Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah is the one who tells them to learn for ulterior motives. So he says, if you don't start somewhere, he says, you're never going to reach Shlo Lishma. So therefore you have to start learning Shlo Lishma, and the schus of the Torah itself that you're learning, even if it's Shlo Lishma, but that learning that you're learning, even for ulterior motives, whatever the reason is, for panosa reasons, you want COVID, you want honor, you want a title, you want a diploma, whatever the situation should be, is but b'shtar Shlo Lishma bo Lishma. But Rav Chaim says something more. Rav Chaim says further, because of Vayisham, and he says further than Peri Gimel, ki efshar lo voy lemadreges Lishma. It's not even shayach, it's not even possible. So it's not just the Chachamim are saying it's okay to do it Shlo Lishma. It's not possible. Lo Oilam, this is the way it's always going to be. In other words, before someone can ever attain the Madrega of Lishma, learning purely for the sake of Lishem Shemayim. By the way, we know what Lishma means. Rashi says himself to explain this. Lishma means Lishem Hashem Kashet Sivani Lakai. I'm learning because Hashem commanded me to learn. That's called Lishma. That's the highest level of learning. In other words, in Shlo Lishma, ulterior motives, you know, there are many levels. There are better Shlo Lishmas and there are worse Shlo Lishmas. You know? So there's a Shlo Lishma, it's not gefährlich. Somebody wants COVID, right? Somebody might learn Shlo Lishma, he wants to be a Talmud Chochem. Now, that's one of the better Shlo Lishmas. But he's not learning because Hashem commanded him to learn. He knows it's a good thing to be a Talmud Chochem. There's a lot of benefits to being a Talmud Chochem. So this is also Shlo Lishma, but it's a higher level of Shlo Lishma. It's a better quality Shlo Lishma. But in any case, Rav Chaim says, before you're able ever to reach Lishma, he says, you would always have to start with Shlo Lishma. Ubeemes kach mashma gamken aloshen le'oilam. The fact that it says le'oilam le'oilam means that it's impossible to arrive at the stage of Lishma, right, without starting with Shlo Lishma. Nope. So Rav Dessler says, we have to ask ourselves the question, so why is that so? Why is that so? In other words, just to make you very, just a small introduction. In recent times, And certainly that time that Rav Dessler was talking about, this is 1940, he says, we have witnessed, going back, you realize, talking about 1940 at the time, and maybe in certain sense even today also, but certainly in those days, he said, we witnessed the great decline, he says, for motivation for Torah mitzvahs. In other words, high-level Torah accomplishments in those days was something, it no longer ensured a reasonable even living standard. It didn't even, at certain times, even to be a Talmud Chacham was not such a COVID either. It was not such a COVID. Chofetz Chaim writes about that. Chofetz Chaim writes about that, how many people did not want to marry off their daughters to Talmid Chachamim. For a simple reason is because they felt, you know, they're not people of means, they will not be able to properly maybe support their daughters and so on and so forth. Chofetz Chaim already writes about that. The problems of a yeshiva bocher, finding a proper shidduch, finding it. So therefore, being a high-level scholar, a high-level Talmud Chacham, did not necessarily ensure right, a reasonable living standard, or even sometimes to carry proper honor and prestige in the outside world. Right, going way back when world was world, when the Jewish world was what it was supposed to be, so Torah was looked up, you know, in the Jewish world at large, and Talmid Chachamim were revered, you know, at the top level, and so on and so forth. So, but nowadays he says, the Shlo Lishma has come out to disappear. What's the Shlo Lishma for? COVID for the sake? No COVID of being a Talmid Chacham. What should be the Shlo Lishma? Maybe I'll get a good position. In other words, I'll learn and be a big Talmid Chacham. Maybe I'll be able to secure myself a big position. It doesn't guarantee, far from a guarantee of securing a position of panosa, just because you're a Talmud Chacham. So the ulterior motives even have sort of like disappeared also, he says. So he points out and he says like this. He says, we ask ourselves the following question, he says. The question that we have to ponder, he says. The question we have to ask ourselves, the question is. It seems surprising. He says, it's surprising. He says, why is it that Hashem did this to us? In our generation, when the Limud HaTorah and Avodas Hashem is on a low standard, so it seems that the ulterior motives are not here. Because what ulterior motive? COVID. It's not such a big COVID. Panosa. It's not such a big panosa. The Shlom Lishma has sort of been removed. So even the Shlom Lishma has been taken away from you. Shlom Lishma, Lo Shlom Lishma. But then let there be a Simba of Lo Shlom. We took away the whole Simba of Shlom Lishma, it appears to be. The Yosem is there. He says more than that, he says. Even if there was, he says, sort of a shadow. He said, even if there would have been some sort of a shloi lishmo, he says, lepo'omim b'yeshivas agdoilus, right? In the large yeshivas. But now what happened is, achnisom ha-kodesh bochum ta'achziat ha-bolshevikim. She's talking about. But now everything had been under the jurisdiction of the Bolsheviks who opposed anything religious. Ashayam the neged kodas. But loy levat shibotel legama shloi lishmo. It's not that shloi lishmo doesn't exist. Exist, but now you need mamash mesiras nefesh. Now you need actually mesiras nefesh. The only way to be able to really to want to be an Eved Hashem, to want to be a Talmud Chacham, to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you actually need mamash. You need mesiras nefesh, which is self-sacrifice, atzuma, tremendously amount. Nidreshes alom de Torah. So he says, mazo yisos Hashem. Why did Hashem do this? Did Hashem want chaz v'shom lahachri v'seirosa v'avedosoi? Did Hashem want to destroy the Torah by making it so difficult to have a motivation to want to be a Talmud Chacham and so on and so forth? It seemed that so many things stand in the way, right? If one chooses this derech, chooses this path. So it goes on, it starts as follows. So Rav Dessler says, Omnom, he says, however, he says, Namik no beze protim lahavinom. Let's ponder some of these ideas, I'll say a little bit more deeply. Let's ponder some of these ideas. First of all, he says, what we have to understand is, how does Shloi Lishma lead to Lishma? Because he brought them before from Rav Chaim, Mitoch Shloi Lishma Bo Lishma. First learn for any reason. I'm not asking to learn for the highest ideals. Start learning for any reason. Just learn. Do mitzvahs for any reason, but just do it. And hopefully, right, we're saying that Metoyach Shlo Lishma, starting to do it Shlo Lishma, it'll bring you to Lishma. The question is, how does Shlo Lishma deal to Lishma? First of all, it's not obvious. Why is it not obvious? Because not always the case. Not every Shlo Lishma leads to Lishma. One knows people, by the way, who start learning for ulterior motives and they remain that way for the rest of their lives. This is what it is. I don't want to say most cases, but this is the way it is. So what does it mean, Metoyach Shlo Lishma Bo Lishma? So he starts number one. So he says, Aleph, Begedesh Shlo Lishma Oma Zekneinu Agoyen Achoset Marein Rav Simcha Zisl the Alta from Kelm. As we know that Rav Dessler married the granddaughter of Rav Simcha Zisl. So he says, our illustrious, he says, our grandfather, he says, Shakavona, he used to say that the transformation, in other words, the transformation from Shlo Lishma, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai, the transformation from Shlo Lishma to lead to Lishma, that's only is when you're learning Shlo Lishma, you're doing it with a goal to reach Lishma. In other words, if a person learns Shlo Lishma without any goal to ever reach Lishma, he'll remain Shlo Lishma the rest of his life. It's not an automatic situation that Mitarech Shlo Lishma, Bo Lishma. A person has to want to reach Lishma, but they can't reach right away. You can't do it right away. Bench or not bench, you're a human being. You have ulterior motives. You have selfish reasons. So, if at least you set yourself a goal, you know what? I'd like one day to reach Lishma. That's what I'm hoping for. So then, if a person really hopes, and he sets a goal to reach Lishma, then Metoyach Shlo Lishma Bo Lishma. So when you see many, many people, right, who remain by Shlo Lishma, they never had a goal to reach Lishma. Never had a goal. That's what the Simcha Zisl Pant. That's the observation of a Baal Musar. You see how the Altavim Kelm, understanding human behavior and understanding how these works. Again, Shakavone, the Kavone. By the way, this, when we talk about it's not learning Torah Dafke, it applies to men and women also. Doing mitzvahs. But even if you start doing mitzvahs for any reason, even if it's not L'Shem Shemayim, but at least you set yourself a goal, you know, I hope one day to reach the Madrege, to be able to do it L'Shem Shemayim. So then eventually, Chazal promised you, they said, you know what, Mitoyach Shlo Lishma Bo Lishma, you will reach Lishma. But that's only if while you are doing the Mishlo Lishma, you have a goal to reach one day to reach Lishma. That's what Simcha Zitl says. Shakavone Shemetchilas Iska Mitoyach Shlo Lishma. Means that in the beginning, right, the transformation only when he intends right from the beginning, Tiyamach Shavtoi Lahagia L'Dei Lishma. Right? The transformation can only take place if one intends right from the beginning that it should lead to Lishma. Right? In other words, if the main aim and ambition is to achieve, right, a pure and unselfish mode of Avodas Hashem, then we're able to do it. As a matter of fact, he emphasized, he said, you can see it in the Loshna Sal. Take a look at the wording of Chazal. He says, it's not something that he said, I made it up, but also, even though it's very logical, it makes a lot of sense, but he said, but also, look at the Loshna Chazal. The Loshna Chazal is, B'dayik zeh memash omru. How did Chazal express themselves when he said, Shlo Lishma leads to Lishma? They expressed themselves by saying, Mitoich. The word Mitoich means, you know the word Mitoich means? Stemming from this. Mitoich means the mashma sheyasek shlo lishma asher al yodoy yovoy el lishma. That is the lotion. Lodom yasek shemitoich, in other words, a person should study shlo lishma. You know what kind of shlo lishma? Shemitoich. In other words, that's the definition of how we should study. His shlo lishma should be studied shemitoich shlo lishma yovoy lishma. That's the way his shlo lishma should be. That out of the shlo lishma he should grow eventually. He should be able to grow leading him into lishma. And he says, what that simply means, Shaloi kol Shlo Lishma Yovel Lishma. It's a mistake to think that automatically every Shlo Lishma, you know, it's going to turn to Lishma. We know it's not like that. Except Barak, it only will happen. The transformation will only occur if Ika Hashi'ife Hitahira. You have to have a pure ambition right from the beginning. If you have a pure ambition right from the beginning, or Mistai Bishlo Lishma, it's very beautifully said. And Mamela, you know, so it means that the Shlo Lishma really, right? It means that the Shlo Lishma really merely is an aid, Sheyekalo, to make it easier, Lamed Keneged Yitzroi, to stand against his Yitzrohara. Right? In other words, the Shlo Lishma is merely a means to ease the struggle against the Yetzer Hara. But Oifum Kozeh Yovoy Lishma, then he will be able to come to Lishma. This is what he points out. This is he points out in the Sefer Ruach Chaim. So again, so these are the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Okay? So Shlo Lishma is okay as long as what? As your main goal is to reach Lishma. Says Rav Dessler a very interesting personal anecdote. Maybe a number of weeks ago, maybe a number of months ago, we might have mentioned it in our introduction, but it stems from here. This is what Rav Dessler says. And he really goes back a little bit about childhood memories. Rav Dessler talks about, listen to what he says. He said, V'zachrani, he says, Mimei Yaldusi. He says, I remember, he says, I have childhood memories. Okay, page 25. Zachrani Mimei Yaldusi. He says, I remember childhood memories, Kiyisi Ben Teisha. He says, I was something about a boy of nine. Asher Yisnahagu Abba Mori V'doidi Reb Gedalyo HaTzadikim Zichron Levrocha. He says, my revered father and my uncle, he says, both great tzadikim, he says, both tzadikim. That's how you produce a Rav Dessler. That's his father Friday night. Yeah, Friday night is usually time. Shinna b'Shabbos tanik tishlu from Abizlu. Friday night he gets up at Chatzos. Gets up at Chatzos, right? Gets up at Chatzos and they learn 9 hours till the davening. It's incredible. His father, that's his father and his uncle, father's brother. This was Midei Shabbos b'Shabbat. It wasn't just Shabbos Mavorchim or something. This was every Shabbos. It was every Friday night. Every Friday night they would learn 9 hours, right? They would learn hours. And Rav Dessler said that he was a boy of nine. The Gamani Kamti Lazy Shoyz. Didn't say it was 9 hours. For a few hours also. I also got up, he says, La'ezi Shoyz, Talomad Rebbe Yimodi. I got up and he said, and my Rebbe would learn with me for a few hours. But not only I got up, not only my parents, my father got up. His mother would get up in the middle of the night, Friday night. Komo, she would get up, he says. She would also get up. Ve'lomdo, she would study Medrash, Ve'ramban, Umalbim, Ve'parashas HaShavua, Talmud Chukamte. Right? So she would learn all that. Says Rav Dessler, my mother got up to learn, but v'kasher komo hoyetzli kiyontif. He says, I'll tell you why. When my mother got up, he says, to me it was mamish yisrael kiyontif. Why? Ki kibdo yisona b'kafe cham v'lvivo yis mafetano, and she gave coffee and latkes. He said, shoye nifloye moed b'tamon. Gewaldige taste, right? Delicious tasting, he says, latkes with coffee. Says Rav Dessler, but it goes without saying, Vineika Hakimo, he says, my main reason for getting up was to learn. But the latkes, he said, had a good chelik in the way I got out of bed. And out of that, the latkes would have taken a little longer to get out of bed. So it comes out that the Shlai Lishma helped him in the Lishma. His main purpose was the learning. But the coffee and the mother's delicacies, right? It's a tzigol, it helped him a little bit. So the Shlai Lishma is used as an aid. The main purpose was not for the coffee, it was not for the cookies. But the cake and the cookies, he says, and the coffee, that at least helped him a little bit, right, to get up a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. That's how you make use of the Shlo Lishma to fight off the Yetzer Hara. He says, lie in bed, this will get up then half an hour later, 10 minutes later. So that helped him out. That was used as an aid. And he says, with this idea, bearing in mind, he says, the kachoy is the kenenu datzal. That's how grandfather, that's talking about Simcha Zisal, used to explain the Mishnah Brochus. We all know that Mishnah. Mishnah says in Brochus Daf Nun Dalet, when we say the Krishma Avatas Shemukel B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Levavcha is plural, with all your hearts. Now, we have one heart. Right? B'chol Lipcha, should have said. What B'chol Levavcha? B'shnei Yetzerecha. What it's referring to, right, is referring to with both your inclinations. With both your inclinations, we need the Yetzer HaToiv and the Yetzer HaToiv. The question is, how can a person love Hashem with his Yetzer HaToiv? B'haftas Hashem L'kecho, right? You should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, the Yetzer HaToiv, I can understand. How do you love Hashem with your Yetzer HaToiv? So, if some chazitl said, you know what it means? What it means, b'chol levavcha yetzer hara. The haina, what it means is, sheishtamish beritzoinus. What it means, hayetzer hara listayel atoid. It means enlist the services of the yetzer hara, the shlo lishma, to do good. Enlist the services of the good cake and the coffee, but to bring it to learn. That's called being mishtamish with the yetzer hara, he says, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I make use of my desires, my side desires, to bring me to do the right thing. So it comes up that the Yitzhahara, right? And the other desires is something enlisting the services, enlisting the service of the Yitzhahara, which is called Shlo Lishma. That means Yitzhahara. Yitzhahara means the Shlo Lishma process, the reasons, right? So that's the opposite. What the Torah is telling us, that a person, right, that in fact we are being informed to use the desires of the Yitzhahara in order to facilitate a path. To facilitate the path of the highest goal of all, and that is the Havas Hashem. So take any tool right at your disposal to be able to reach that Madrega. To reach that Madrega. So he goes on to say, one more quote here, and he says, Vitzorach Lovin. But he says this, we have to try to understand. He says, we have to understand, and that is, why is it the will of Hashem that serving Hashem must always involve Shlo Lishma? Why is this the will of Hashem that to serve Hashem according to Bakr? We say Loilam. That's where it's always going to start. Loilam. Always, right? So it's Torah Chorovim. We have to understand. We have to try to understand. Lama Zahoyer Ritzoyne Yisborach. Why is it the will of Hashem? She Yistaye Ha'odam that he should need aid, right? Lavoidoso Yisborach Bishloy Lishma. For ulterior motives. Why does it have to start that he's going to have an ulterior motive? Lama Sidr. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu arrange She Yachnisu Esatum El Torah HaKedusha? Why do you arrange, right, that purity has to be associated with impurity? Relatively speaking, the Shloi Lishma would connect it to Lishma. Why is it necessary that Shloi Lishma has to be part of our Avodah, at least in the beginning? Why? Avodah who? He said the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned our Seder Avodah like a ladder. And that is, you don't reach the top right away. You don't reach the top right away. It's an Avodah. It's a step. It is an effort. It's a process. When Hashem did it, like a ladder that's firmly planted on the ground, right with the top of the ladder reaching heaven, reaching Shemayim, right? Which means to say, b'chol darge v'darge, every rung of the ladder, rung by rung, yamar l'ha'odam lama neg Yisrael. You know, there's a different assignment, there's a challenge. Every rung, to make it from rung 1 to 2 is a challenge, and from 2 to 3 is another challenge, from 3 to 4, every rung, every step of the way is going to be a challenge. It's going to be an avoider. V'layucha likfoitz, a person will not be able, there's no way, that a person can jump any part of it. Mimata l'malu b'vazachas. There's no way, but all his life he has to progress. By the way, he has to progress laboriously, with effort, from step to step, as he says. Achol yomav yavoid, right? Laboriously, memadrei lemadrege. Vizehu. And therefore he says, this is at the beginning, right? The beginning, of course, the Lishma is still weak, because that's the lowest level. Vizehu shetchilus madregas Lishma, the beginning, when you're at the bottom of the ladder, right? Ashebacha lishusa, because Lishma, reaching Lishma, you're too weak to reach Lishma at that time, you're still at the bottom of your madrega in your career of Avodas Hashem. Nitzrechasi, it needs, the Lishma needs lesiyua. The Lishma needs the aid of the Shloi Lishma, in order to reach the Lishma. So man now has to double his efforts, right? He says, "Umemero ledarge acheres," from one rung to the other, madrege, ashiyove lishma to get to lishma. And he points out very beautifully behind Shekosov Agoyin b'chaim v'lojin. He brings down a moshel. He says, "Look how Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he sees our avoda, he sees our shlo lishma. Kodesh Baruch Hu will look at it in the same way." He says, "Moshel liyodin." We're talking about the spiritual. Going from step to step. Let's talk about the physical. Imagine if there's a master. Moshe Liyodim, he says, the Moshe is if you have a master. A master tells his servant, you can imagine, a master tells Shetziva Le'avdoi, Sheyalu L'aliyah. If a master tells a servant he wants to go get me something, he says, right, from the upper floor, from the top floor. The master will not object. The master will not object if the servant goes up the ladder rung by rung. The master does not accept him to fly up to the top. The master understands that from where to get, he has to go step by step. Ain't svara sheyichas olav, right? There's no svara at all. There's no reason to believe that the master will get angry. He's taking his time. He's going step by step. That somehow we should skip and go straight to the top. Right? There's no reason to believe that the master would get angry because the servant is going right up the steps of the ladder. And he's not jumping, right? And he's not leaping in one bound. He's not going to get angry. Why? Because it's not possible. In a spiritual career, it's the same thing. In the spiritual quiz, the same thing. So he says, as long as she be'es limudo, the only thing is what when you are learning or doing your mitzvah, shloi lishmo, when you are doing your mitzvah, shloi lishmo, ye b'machshavtoi rak l'madrege, the machshava, the goal should be to reach the top. Ultimately, to do the mitzvahs for the sake of Hashem Shemayim. Shem bevadai, you can be sure, he says, if the master will see, going with the same mushal, if the master sees, okay, he says, the servant is taking the ladder, right? There's nothing wrong if he takes the ladder. But what if he takes the ladder and he stops on the third rung, just and reads a newspaper? Then he's going to be upset. Which means he's remaining on the low madrege. If you're remaining in the low lishma, then he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu might be upset, because you don't have a goal to reach the lishma. You don't have a goal to reach the lishma, he says. Shebevada im yira ha'odoy. Going back to the moshel, the master will see shohevet ho'elach ala madreges, onov, onov. He's moving from side to side. Vein ho'elach ala aliyah. But he's not going up. So you have to have a goal to reach the top. If you want to have a goal to reach the top, you can reach it. So we can stop, you can do it to the sheet. But I want to just tell you what he says later. He says, where's this posik sula musavasa? You start with the ladder on the bottom. By Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the biggest tzaddik of all. Yaakov Avinu was the bechir shemavos. And he also was told, sula musavasa. You have to work yourself up. So that's the nekuda that we see. This is the seder avoid of a person. So what a person has to take for himself is the goal to want to reach lishma. And then Bez Hashem, siyati dishmaya, he'll be able to get as close to the top as possible. Okay. Okay, everybody, so let's take a look at the sheet. We'll take a look at she'ifas, at goal. What's the first of you set a goal? The tremendous power is called the power of positive thinking, Rabbi Isai. Whoever made up that phrase, Rabbi, goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. And you'll see over here, as a matter of fact, in Rishayim, starting from a posik over here, which is in Parashat Vayakel. Let's take a look just a little bit. He said when it came to building the Mishkan, you know, so they solicited this from a sefer called Lekach Tov, well-known sefer, in Parashat Vayakel, also a sefer Chaim Shesh Bohem. But the Kuri is like this, Rabbi Isaac. When it came to build the Mishkan, these people did not go to arts and crafts school. They did not go to any any particular college. They did not learn any carpentry. All of a sudden, you had all these people who were involved in the building of the Mishkan. The Postic solution was, Vayavayu kol ish. Every man came. Which man came? Asher nesoy liboy, whose heart was inspired. People whose heart was inspired that they want to build a Mishkan, they came. What does that mean, the heart was inspired? So the heart is inspired. Not everybody who's inspired to play music can play music. Not everybody who's inspired to cook music can cook. Not everybody's inspired to daven for yomet. Means he can daven for yomet. So the man is azoy. Yeah, okay. So Maisa Omer Ramban. So Maisa says Ramban like this. Look at what Ramban says. He says, Havla Vela. I mean, this is Ramban. You know, when Ramban says something. Ramban says, Lo hoya bein b'nei Yisrael af ish asher lomad es melochais ha-mishkin es ha-balunis. Do you realize that? No one had any training in building, in construction. No one. Af ish, he says. There wasn't B'nai Yisrael, he says, even one person who had any formal training in building, in carpentry, in construction. Le'ish lo'hoye ezeshu nesoyim koinim bedover. Nobody had any experience. Nobody had any experience. So how did they do it? So how did they do it? Said Ramban, he says, Kol eile ashebori lase samlocha. Those who offered to come to construct the Mishkan. These are people, asher govalibo misa bedarki Hashem. They were so inspired. Lovei lifnei Moshe. The inspired said, we want to do it. We want to do it. We want to give of ourselves. Veloi ma'aloi. And they were saying to him, shemekabli malatzmoim lasis kol malocha shetutlan. Whatever task you give, we're ready to do. That's what it means, zera pirish. That's in fact what it means, asher nesoy liboi. That means Ajin Soliboy. And Ramban tells us, being that they had this tremendous will, they had this tremendous rotzen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a gift. Gave a gift. The ability and the know-how and the skill to be able to do it. Why? Because it started with Ajin Soliboy. They had a goal. They had a goal. This is what we want to do. We want to go, and they wouldn't take no for an answer. This is what we want to do. Let's take a look further. Divrei HaRamban. Misham shel mashgiach mimir b'siva da'asayr. So mimir mashgiach, this is now Rabbi Yeruchem. Rabbi Yeruchem in a shmuz in siva da'asayr takes this Ramban and he says nekudas moitze. He takes from here out a point la havholas erko to describe the value, the great value erka gadol shel ayuzma v'ashifa. It means a person has to have ambition. Ambition. How the Goy Shevel, they always talk about ambition, ambition, ambition. In the world of Ruchnius, what ambition means, Mir Mashgiach takes from here. How important it is that a Yid has to have ambition. You just take it day by day. It's going to happen, whatever's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. You have to have ambition. And then, with the ambition, you try to do as much as you can. But you have to have ambition. And Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, in his Bayim Adirei Olam, take a look at the great people. Take a look at the great leaders of our people. The mighty people. The Gedolei Yisrael. Oymer HaGoyin Rabbi Yochanan. Nireh. First of all, he talks about the Gashmizik world. Here in Nere, you'll see Shekola Ashir Magdoilim. You show that they had ambition, they had a goal. They want to be successful. They want to be successful. But in all the seminars, which gave me the seminar, right? I can be successful, right? You have to have a goal. You have to go. You want to be. You want to make it. You want to make it. That's how you pep you up. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Right? So he says, all the Ashir Magdoilim Giel Roim Pizgas at Tachosam. How did they reach the apex? Whether that's the climax. That tremendous ambition. Odam Choser Yuzma, a person does not have ambition, lo yasliach b'derech klal, lal is besul matzlochen. Mikan shesimen muvi hu b'odam, this is clearly a simen, mishu hu bal Yuzma, a person who is a dreamer, right? A person who has ambition, efshaloyim ha'olov, that he is a person that has hidden godless within himself. Because the ambition brings out inner koyches, brings out within yourself talents, hidden talents. A person's hope in such a situation, right, to be able to reach, right, the top, to reach the top, to reach the climax, to reach the apex of Pisgah's Asloch, to reach the top, the summit of his Asloch, right, if he just scales the mountain, im yafil lalis ahara, if he wants to. Achmisha Eino, he says, Bal Yuzma, a person who's not ambitious, he's from those people, Anoshim Aragim, from the average people, he's from the midgets, he calls them Hanasim, he says, these people remain where they are. These people remain where they are. So he says, when it came to building the Mishkan, the Loi Balim Malocha is Miksoyim, these were not people by trade who were Balim Malocha. Oy Meres HaToyle, Hoyo Eilish Yitzlichu, Torah is not saying at all, but telling us that the people of Matzliach were people who were trained. This was their profession. El Baale Nesiyah Slave. It's merely that they were Nesiyah Slave. They had the Nesiyah Slave. They had this ambition. Shekibu Alatzimam, Latzitzam Locha, right? Well, Mamele says, Ubaale, this is what happened. This was a tremendous Atzlocha. So I just want to just go to number two. I want to show you something. Just an amazing thing. It's an unbelievable memory. Reb Chaim Shmulevich, by the way, the Shmuzen also brings this. Just take it, because God created so many creatures, millions of creatures. Take a look at the worm or the ant. Take a look at the ant. So the Yisoid HaZayeshu Makor B'Chazal, I'll just do this little piece here. The Yisoid HaZayeshu Makor B'Mishle. The Mishle says, the Posuk in Mishle Shlomo Melech says, you want to observe nature, Lech El Nemole Otzel. Go look at the lazy ant, so to speak. You'll see how lazy he is. Reidor Cheod, follow, just look at him. Just look at how the ant works. V'chakem, and you'll become a chocham. Asher ein lo katzin shoytre moshel, there's no one over him, and look what he does. Tochen b'kai yislachmo. She prepares in the summertime all the food that she's going to need for later. You know, she sees ahead. The ant stores. The ant stores ahead of time in the summertime. Right? The cuts in the time of the harvest, machover food. Shlomo Melech says, go learn from the ant. What do you want to learn from the ant? Ma ro Shloime, right? What did Shloime see leyayitz to give advice? Go, right? He calls her the lazy ant. You want to learn from a lazy person? We can learn from the ant. Rabbana Omra, listen to what Rabbana say. Hanamola Hazu. It's an amazing thing. Hanamola Hazu Shloisha Batim Yeshlo. An ant has like three houses. It makes three holes. It digs three areas. Three areas of shelter. The ant digs three areas of shelter. Vena Kuneses Bel Yoin does not go on the top one because it rains. Because the top one is exposed wherever the rain comes first. Vena Takhto doesn't go on the lower one. Mipne Hatina because of the mud over there. It's still in the middle one. It's one, two, it's like three stories. One on top of the other. Vena Chaya, the ant only lives six months. 6 months. Vechoma, and what do you think? A little ant, how much does he eat already? How much does he eat already? A little ant eats Chito Mechza. A wheat kernel and a half. A wheat kernel, not a small kernel. A wheat kernel and a half. That's all she eats. And what she does? She hoards and she hoards. If you manage to discover what they call an ant hole, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of kernels. What's she working for? All she needs to survive is a chito and a half. chit and a half. And you'll find hundreds of kernels you're going to find. You're going to find vihiyoheleches or machneses bekayitz komash emoitzes. She goes and she whores and she stores chitim, wheat, soyim, barley, vadashim, lentils. Lama yoisekein. You know why? Because she says, Shem she'omro, Shem yigzor olai HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayim v'yelimuchem lechol. In other words, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me more arichas yomim. Here's the mass, it's supposed to die in 6 months. She said, no, maybe because this is full of hope. This is full of ambition. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be going, maybe I'll live who knows how long. So they have food. Omer Abshimah ben Yechoi, Maisa hoyo motsu b'bor shalav, they once uncovered in one of the burrows of the ant, b'hoyo, they found, right? Umimtsu b'bor shalav, shloish meyes kur. You have to read shloish meyes kur, you're dealing with tons. You're dealing with tons, that's the size, tons. Masha machneses menakais l'choyres. So Shlomo Melech says, this is the kind of a lazy worm that I meant, I say, go and learn from this lazy worm. Bloshen Saginoy says, and so on and so forth. So the idea is again, that this is what we learn. So you take a look how you see. Here you have a lowly ant, you see that she just continues to work. Maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even unrealistically, no. She prepares for even something that seems to be beyond, this is some, nothing stands in the way of success. Nothing. Seems impossible. No. I'm going to go ahead. And Shlomo Melech says, learn from the Namala. And that's what we see, that's what Ramban tells us, and that's what Rabbi Chaim Volozhin tells us, that no matter how lowly a person may feel in his Avodah, but at least set yourself higher goals. You set yourself higher goals, then Be'ez Hashem, Shemitah Shalom, Shemabol Shemah, as he says.